That it?
All right, they said something going on. Amen. I'll remind you about the offering.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We were parked in front of my in-law's house in California years ago. My kids were little, and the neighborhood kids were asking them about what we did. I mean, here's a big old Greyhound bus in a residential section parked in front of a house. So they said, what does your dad do? And they told them. They said, well, how do y'all make a living? They said, well, we go to different churches and they take offerings for us. And so they said, so you just travel from church to church and collect money? And they said, yeah. So a little more involved than that, amen. Yeah, but amen. Basically, that's it, amen. Where did I turn to tell y'all to turn? Isaiah chapter 40, amen. Isaiah chapter 40. And just want to brag on the Lord today, if you let me, amen. God, ever since God did what he did for me, I've been saying he's huge. I mean, God is so big. But here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, if you look at that verse, it says, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold, your God. I just want to say right off the bat, there's no God like our God. Besides him, there is no God. Not a big G. Amen. You can't say he's the greatest, because if you say that, you're comparing him to somebody. You can't compare him to anybody. You can say he's the onlyest. Amen. If you want to put a superlative to it, amen. Nobody like him, but the behold your God. I read a book a while back, long time ago, amen, on grace. And in the introduction of the book, it said to understand grace, we learned that in Sunday school, didn't we? Grace, amen. But to understand grace, there's two big things you have to understand. First of all, how great and how holy God is.
Amen.
Yep. How great and how holy God is.
Amen.
And once you get that, then you look at how insignificant and sinful man is. And in spite of how great and how holy God is and the insignificant and sinful man is, that God will want us. Some of y'all didn't get that yet. As holy and as great God is, somebody as insignificant and sinful as we are, he'd want us. But I'm thankful he wants us.
Amen.
The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen.
Yeah.
But first of all, we're going to look at the greatness of God here. Look in chapter 40, verse 12. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I just want to talk, first of all, how big his hand is.
Yeah.
This earth is covered by a little over 70% water. So if you and some of y'all may not know, the ocean depths, there are ocean depths that are deeper than Mount Everest is high. I mean, that's way down. But if you could bring all the ocean depths up to where everything's level and smash all the mountains down to where it's just one sphere, we'd be covered in over a mile deep of water. Over a mile deep, the whole earth would be covered over a mile deep of water. And he measures it in the hollow of his hand.
Yeah.
I only heard one wow.
Oh.
He measures it in the hollow of his hand.
Amen.
It, not even in his hand, in the hollow of his hand.
Sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, why you bring that up? First of all, it says it. Amen. But number two, in John chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When I got saved, he stuck me in the palm of his hand, in the hollow of his hand, and I feel very secure there. I feel very secure. Listen, I was talking to a guy one time. He believed you could lose your salvation. I brought that verse up in John. I said, listen, it says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, well, you can pluck yourself out.
Yeah.
I thought, well, number one, I never met anybody wanted to pluck themselves out of his hand.
That's right.
Like I said, I'm a satisfied customer. We got any satisfied customers here? You're glad you got saved? Amen. Anybody here trying to jump out of that hand? I never met one person trying to jump out of that hand. And listen, no man can pluck him. It's going to take a rocket booster for you to jump out of that hand. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I just want to say this morning, if you ever got saved, you're going to heaven, like it or not.
Yeah.
I always like to say, Brother Ron, I'm pathetically saved. Amen. I'm saved. I like that word, saved.
Amen.
I just like the word. You know, some people, you know, make a decision. No, get saved. Amen. Get saved.
Yeah.
I had a preacher friend years ago. He got saved when he was 14 years old. The old cowboy preacher in Colorado, Herbert Springer. Herbert Springer was preaching, and he came up to get saved. It was at Detroit, Michigan, where he got saved, at Temple Baptist Church. He said he's come around the aisle to get saved, 14 years old, and there was a buck in the carpet, and he tripped on that carpet and went headfirst into the altar. And he said, Harvey Springer, the big old long cowboy preacher, he said, safe, amen, like that. That's what happened when I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I come walking out now, and he says, safe. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm in the hollow of his hand.
Amen.
Let's see something else about it in that verse. It says, and meted out heaven with a span. Meted means measured. He measured heaven. Now, what is heaven? Sometimes we as Christians, we read the Bible, and we think about heaven. We think about the city. The pearly gate, street, technically that's not heaven. On a good dark night, just look out there. That's heaven.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah.
Now, we're finding out it's getting bigger all the time.
That's right.
Yep. I don't know if it's getting bigger or we're just discovering more.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. So I'm going to give you some numbers here, and there might be some science geeks. And after church, don't come to me and say, no, it was actually two more zeros to it. Or we're going to be talking about so many zeros, it ain't going to make a difference.
Amen.
How big this place is.
Amen.
You know, we measure, thank you, brother. We measure this place in light years. The universe, as we know it, approximately, for you science geeks, amen, approximately, 91 billion light years across. That's how big this place is. 92 billion light years across. Now, a light year is how far light travels in a year. And most of y'all probably know this one, 186,000 miles per second, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's over 700 million miles an hour. That's moving. Amen.
Yeah.
So in a year, light travels 5.8 quadrillion miles.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know quadrillion existed until I found it. Amen. Trillion, as far as I can go.
Yeah.
But
amen.
The next one over, a quadrillion, 5.8 quadrillion miles light travels in a year. So you multiply that by 92 billion light years across. So what you come up with is like 5 × 10. And 28 zeros. That's how many miles it is across.
Yeah.
Let me give you another perspective. You know, I'm just trying to show you how big the place is.
Yeah.
If you could travel the speed of light, would that be something? Amen. If you could travel the speed of light, you'd have to live to be 92 billion years old to get from one side of it to the other if you're traveling that whole time. And if it's me, I've been wanting to stop by and see stuff on the way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We live in a huge place. And the Bible says he meets it out with a span. That's a span. From the thumb to the tip of the finger, that's a span. God, at one time, this wasn't here. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
This wasn't here. It was just God was up here And he said, I want to make something out there. I want to make something out there.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want it to get out of hand. I'm just going to make it about that big.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
He's big.
Yeah.
I mean, all the water right there, the whole universe right there. Amen. He's big. Let's go over here. Verse 26. He's not only he's big, but he's smart.
Amen.
It says, lift up your eyes on high. Now we're looking up again. And behold, who have created these things. Now when you look up, what are you looking at? What do you see? Stars. Amen. That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. So the stars. Now, please don't get mixed up with science, and we're at church, amen.
Yeah.
But the Bible is scientific, amen.
Yeah.
And it corrects all science books.
Sure.
Amen. It does.
Yeah.
But we live in the Milky Way. That's the galaxy we live in. Mm-hmm. It's estimated 300 billion stars in the Milky Way. 300 billion. There's 125 to 175 billion galaxies, Milky Ways. Are y'all with me? Probably not. I'm not with me myself. I've lost myself a long time ago, but it's a huge place. We're finite. We got finite minds. We can't. But listen, the Milky Way we live in, that's just one galaxy of over 125 to 150 billion Milky Ways. So let's say that all the other galaxies have about as many stars as we have. So that's 300 billion times 125 to 175 billion galaxies. So here we go again. Let me start over here. That's 5 with 21 zeros after it. Stars in this thing God made. And that verse says he has them named.
Yeah.
He has them named.
Yeah.
We have 7 kids. That 7th one, we were kind of reaching, scratching, and, you know, there's got to be some names left. Amen. All the stars, God has names for them.
Yep.
Can you imagine his alphabet? I mean, we only have 26 letters. I mean, there's no computer that could put all that in different names. So God's
right.
Alphabet is
bigger than that.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
He's smart.
Amen.
The Bible says the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I used to think it meant he knew how many hairs were on your head. No, that's not what it says. They're all numbered. They all have a number.
Right.
I mean, if all the stars have names, all these hairs have numbers. I see one right there. It's just a, there. That one has a number.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which one it was, and you won't miss it. You got good hair to hair. Amen. Just wait. Amen. Just wait. This one has a number.
Yes, sir.
And God knows what number it is.
Yep.
And you say, well, why are you? You got one on your ear. Anyway. You know, something, when it stops growing up here and it starts growing everywhere else, amen. But why would God worry about that? Why would he? You know, the Bible says the sparrow doesn't fall without him. I'm just saying God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. I mean, if he attends a sparrow's funeral when they fall, he knows your heartaches.
Yeah.
He cares for you. I know he's big, but he cares for you.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God. He knows.
Amen.
That song Travis said, he knows my name. Every step that I take,
amen. Amen.
He knows it all. Amen.
Thank God.
So he's just a huge, huge God. But let me say something else about him. Not only is he big and he's great, but he's holy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, I can't exactly explain what holiness is because I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of like, clean, holy means clean, but it's cleaner than clean.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I Well, y'all know Mr. Clean. Compared to God, he would look like pig pen. I'm talking about clean. I'm talking about pure. That's what God is. God detests sin. God hates sin. And you said in Sunday school, I'm just a sin. Just one sin. God hates it. When the Bible talks about abomination, it means it makes God so upset, it makes him sick to his stomach to observe, to see, think about sin. Jesus Christ was perfect. Jesus Christ never sinned one time. I mean, listen, he had flesh like us, but never one time did the man sin. He never sinned. He never thought an ill thought. He never, nothing. He was holy. While they crucified him.
Yep. Right. Amen.
If he were here today, they'd do it again.
Yes, sir.
Right. Let me just say, we would do it again.
Yep.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Boy, he's great. And he's holy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So we've taken a look at God. Now let's look at us. I said we're insignificant and we're sinful. Insignificant. When God made this thing here, on the sixth day, he made this thing, and in his very last thing, he went down and scooped up, I used to say dirt, but the Bible doesn't say dirt. Dirt's worth something. I mean, you buy a dump truck load of topsoil, you're going to pay some money for it, but he didn't make it out of dirt. Dust! Unless it's gold, it's not worth anything. We try our best to get rid of all of it. And God scoops up dust and breathes the breath of life into it, and here we are. Not much to brag about. Animated dust balls. And see, you said dirt balls, too. It's not dirt, brother. If we was animated dirt balls, we'd be worth something. We're not worth anything.
Amen.
Yeah. Animated dust balls is what we are. Insignificant.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing. I mean, the trees, the wonderful things, and then he gets dust and makes something out of it.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yep. Make something out of nothing. Yes, sir.
And we're sinful. And when I say we, it was Adam, but it was we. Oh, in Adam, all that. We were in Adam.
Yes, sir.
When we got put in that garden, we only had one law. You're talking about the Ten Commandments, all those thou shalt nots. We only had one thou shalt not. And let me put it in perspective. He said, of all these trees, thou mayest freely eat. I mean, as a... We don't know what kind of trees those were. We have no idea what kind of fruit they had. But God, I mean, I'm sure it was great. And God, all these trees you can eat, the fruit thereof. But he said, there's one tree, just one. And that was mine. You can have all the rest of them. Just one. It's mine. And don't eat that fruit. Guess what we did? That's what we do. We sin. I got seven kids. Never taught one of them how to sin. It's on the inside of us. We're prone to wander, Lord. I feel we're sinful. As holy, and I couldn't make God as holy as he really is. Oh, y'all listen. I can't make because we don't want to. But as holy as God is, that's how sinful we are. How can this get with this? I went to Creation Museum and went to the planetarium there and got in this big room and got in these seats, and they shut the lights out, and then these seats turn like this, and you look at, and they start showing you the universe on the ceiling. So I'm watching this thing. They're showing me the earth and how big the sun is and how many earths could go inside the sun, you know, how big the sun is. And then they went to the next closest star to us and how huge it is and how many suns will go inside of it. And then the next closest star, how many of this huge stars will go inside of this star. And by the time we got to the second star, the sun had disappeared. It was so far away and so insignificant. The sun had disappeared. So obviously the earth had disappeared a long time ago. And we're exploring all these stars and nebulas and everything else. And then we get outside the Milky Way and we're looking at other galaxies and what they have. And so we see the Milky Way and it's this elliptical looks like milk, amen, with just 300 billion stars here. And so we're getting further and further back. Well, finally the Milky Way just looks like one star instead of a whole galaxy. So we're getting back further and we're looking at all these other galaxies and it just seems like we're coming back here and there was a pause in the narration and it just seems that there couldn't have been any more. So it felt to me like we're here where God was when he looked out and thought, I'm going to make something out there. It just felt like that to me. And Joanna was sitting next to me, my daughter, and I turned to her. I said, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yep. Wow.
I mean, you couldn't even see the Milky Way from up there. And so far. And we're dust balls on earth that you couldn't see. What is man that thou art mindful of him? But God was mindful of us.
Yeah.
He was so mindful of us that one day he sent his son from here through all those galaxies down to the Milky Way, down to the solar system, down to the earth, down to Israel, down to a little virgin girl's womb because he was mindful of us.
Amen.
He was born, went into the ministry. John said, if everything he said and did were recorded in books, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain all he did and said in 3.5 years. Never man spake like this man.
No.
Calming storms, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. I mean, what a 3.5 year ministry. He was mindful of us. And then they arrested him.
Yeah.
Y'all remember him?
Yeah.
They arrested him. How do you arrest him? He had to let them. Matter of fact, when it came to arrest him, they said, we're looking for Jesus. And he says, I am. And they all fell back. They got back up and they asked him again. He said, I am. You know, let these guys go. They're all right. It's me you're looking for. It's me you're looking for. They arrested him. They blindfolded him. They started hitting him. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
They started hitting him. The creator of the universe, they started hitting him. Prophesy, who hit you?
Yep.
Brother Rahman, I know you have an attitude. I got one. If I was Jesus, I'd have been telling them their DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He didn't open his mouth. Because he was mindful of us.
Yeah.
Never defended himself. They whipped him. They scourged him. They spit on him. They hung. You remember who I'm talking about? They hung him on a cross. He gave up the ghost. You ain't going to kill God. He gave up the ghost. Put him in a grave. He just borrowed it. Just needed it for a few days. After 3 days, here he is. Hey, man, you're not going to keep him in a hole in the ground. You're not. No. He rose from the dead. He sent it up to the Father.
Amen.
But he makes frequent trips.
That's right.
He makes frequent trips.
Yeah.
May 19th, 1970, he came from there. All those galaxies came down to the Milky Way, came down to the solar system, came down to the earth, came down to Nashville, Tennessee, came down to Dickerson Road Baptist Church, came down to the fourth row from the back where I was sitting.
Yeah.
Any of y'all remember when he did that for y'all? Amen.
Amen.
He came down lower than that, Brother Ryman. Psalm 113 says he raised up the poor out of the dust, lifted the needy out of the dunghill. When he got to that back, that fourth row from the back, he got that fork and stuck that fork in the ground and rolled it over in that big manure pile where I was. And there I was. Anybody here dig worms? Amen. Nanny and Papa used to live on a farm. I'd go down a little pond, catch just some sunfish and maybe some yellow-bellied catfish, you know. But a little kid, hey, that's big stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I get my cane pole. Didn't have to go to the bait shop because we had cows.
There you go. Amen.
Amen. Just go behind that barn where all them cows fellowship. Stick that fork in the ground, lift that thing over, and the biggest, juiciest night crawlers you've ever seen. Some of them were so juicy they looked like they were rotten. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all are squeamish, but that's yellow-bellied catfish like them. The rottener they are, the more they like them. Amen. That's what he got when he dug up that new manure pile. There I was.
Yeah, amen. Good. Amen.
He had done that 2 years before. I can remember when he did it. Dug in that manure pile. I remember seeing the light. I remember smelling that fresh air. And he says, "You want out?" I said, "I like it in here." How many here got saved the first time you heard it? No, we liked it in there. I'm telling you, we are sinful.
Absolutely.
We like that sin more than we're willing to stay in a manure pile because we like that sin. But he came 2 years later.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad he came 2 years later.
Amen.
I was a senior in high school. A week before graduation, fixed to make a mess of my life. And he come digging around that manure pile again. And I remember seeing that light and smelling that fresh air. He says, "You want out?" I said, "I want out."
Amen.
I'm glad he was mindful of
Amen.
Me. Mindful. What does it mean? I was in his thoughts continually. That's not the end of the story. The next verse there in Psalm 113 where it says, "Lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people." I'm not a saved worm. I'm a child of the King.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. God transformed me. Yeah. Amen. I'm not a worm anymore.
Amen.
Matter of fact, Jesus became a worm for me.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm a worm and not a man." When he's hanging on a cross, he became a worm. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us because he's mindful of us. I want you to know he is mindful of you. He's been thinking about you continually. He wants you to know him. He knows you. But he wants you to know him.
Yeah.
So I got two questions, two statements to make. First of all, if you're not saved, and he continually thinks about you, he sent his only begotten son down here to suffer what he suffered because he was thinking about you. Why wouldn't you want to know him? Why wouldn't you look at your sins on one side and look at him on the other and say, repent of your sins. Just say, I want the Lord.
Amen.
I'm tired of living the way I'm living in this manure pile. I want help. I want out of this mess. I want to be a child of God. Why would you not want to?
Amen, brother.
Especially when he thought so much of you to do what he did.
Good.
And second of all, if you're saved, he's mindful of us. He thinks about us all the time. Now, y'all remember who we are? Animated dust balls. And his mind is full of an animated dust ball. My question is this. Why shouldn't animated dust balls' minds be filled with him?
That's right.
Amen.
It ought to be us being mind full of him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a lot of folks, they go the whole week, and they never acknowledge him until Sunday comes.
Amen.
Never read their Bibles, never pray, never just give him a thought through the week until Sunday comes. Listen, if you're saved, your mind ought to be consumed with him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice Amen. To him, holy, acceptable to God, which is it's just reasonable.
Right. Yeah.
Father, we love you only because you first loved us. I can't imagine someone like you being consumed with people like us, mindful of us. But I know you were. And I know what you did for us on the cross could never be repaid. Could never be, we can't thank you enough. But God, if there's somebody here that's not saved,
God, help.
Help them to see this morning just how much they mean to you. That you so love the world that you sent your son down through all those galaxies, down to the earth, to live, to suffer, to die, and be resurrected. Because you were mindful of us. And you're not willing that any should perish. There's no one in this building right now that you want to go to hell.
That's right.
But there are some that are heading in that direction. But he don't want them to. So God, would you touch hearts this morning? God, I pray that you deal with hearts and as sinful as we are and as insignificant we are, that you want us and you love us and you're willing to save us. You're willing to change our hearts if we just come to you. And help those of us that are saved. Being that you're so mindful of us, surely we ought to be mindful of you. Sacrificing ourselves to you, it's the least we can do. I pray for anybody here, say, holding anything back, I pray that they let it all go. That you'll be the primary thought through the day. You'd be the first thought they have in the morning. The last thought when they go to bed. Acknowledging you. And Lord, we'd experience you directing our paths. God, you are so great.
Yes, and
you are so holy.
Yes.
And we're thankful for your grace. Nothing logical about you loving us. Nothing. But you did. Thank you for that love. Have your way an invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.